For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
But first, at 3, crews are still working this hour to put out a fire that's destroyed part of a cabinet-making company in the far southwest suburbs. This story is new this hour. WBBM's Jim Goodis just got off the phone with the Fire Protection District, and he's here at the anchor desk with late details. Jim.
Lisa, the fire is at TriStar Cabinet and Top Company on Cedar Road near Illinois Highway in New Lenox. Marissa Tomich is a spokesperson for the New Lenox Fire Protection District.
Once our first engine arrived on scene, they did see heavy smoke and fire coming from the building, and the response was upgraded. No injuries have been reported.
Tomich says everyone who was in the facility when the fire started has been accounted for. Because the fire caused so much smoke, air quality in the area is being tested. Tomich says the air appears to be safe, but people living nearby will be notified if that changes. Again, the fire continues to burn, and firefighters are busy right now trying to make sure that the blaze doesn't spread to other parts of the facility, but there is significant damage. Live at the anchor desk, Jim Goodis, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Thank you, Jim. More than 20 years ago, a crush of people running from what sounded like gunfire caused a deadly stampede in a nightclub along Chicago's Motor Row called E2. The club's been closed for years, but the building's still standing. And today, a Chicago hearing officer heard arguments about whether it should be torn down.
Lawyer Aaron McLaughlin with the Department of Planning and Development argued that the building at 2347 South Michigan should be preserved because of its significance.
Particularly as part of the cluster of buildings that make up the Motor Road District. Together, as we'll hear, these buildings represent an important, unique part of the city's history.
But former Alderman Howard Brookins Jr., representing the current owner, displayed a letter from the city buildings department saying that the vacant, dilapidated building should be torn down.
And it says this letter serves you to notify under the applicable statute. You have 15 days to put the building in safe condition or demolish.
City officials argue the letter didn't really mean that, but the former nightclub was where 21 people died in a panicked stampede in 2003, so some people like Mary Carwell, whose daughter was one of the victims, want it demolished.
I don't want to see nobody going in there as eating food or it being a restaurant or anything.
Other families feel differently. A hearing officer will help decide this case. Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
12 jurors have finally been chosen in Michael Madigan's corruption trial, but six alternates are still needed before Monday's anticipated opening arguments in the case. The former Illinois House Speaker faces racketeering charges, alleging he schemed with ComEd and AT&T to put his confidants on contracts requiring little or no work and using his public position to generate business for his private law firm. Both Madigan and his co-defendant Michael McLean, a former ComEd lobbyist, have pled not guilty and deny any wrongdoing. Illinois health officials say Legionella bacteria has been eliminated from the hot water supply at the YWCA in Evanston, prompting the reopening of the facility after it was closed last Thursday out of an abundance of caution. Larry Marks is a member and tells CBS News Chicago he was disappointed.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
About the closure on Church Street.
I'm in a water aerobics program now, and this program is keeping us alive, and you feel it when you're out of the water for a week or two.
Cleanup guidelines include new water filters, increased chlorine levels, and hot water temperatures. Open House Chicago takes place this weekend. It's a favorite for many folks, and the list of potential stops this year includes one of the most secure rooms in the city.
Nearly 200 architecturally, historically, and culturally significant sites across the city opening their doors free to the public, but likely none with such tight security on the day-to-day as the Federal Reserve Bank in the loop. And with good reason. There are billions of dollars just sitting in the basement awaiting distribution to banks.
And millions of dollars that come in and out of the building every single day because we are the banker's bank.
We ask Matthew Ramirez, senior program representative for the Money Museum, located inside Chicago's Federal Reserve Bank, if maybe we can get a look at that basement?
No.
What we can see and what the public will see this weekend are various representations of $1 million, 1 million and ones stacked to create a large cube, a much smaller stack of $20 bills making up the million, and a briefcase stuffed with 12 stacks of $100 bills to equal $1 million, along with a rare glimpse of the building's Great Hall, its ceiling 4 stories high with 12 massive columns representing the 12 Federal Reserve Banks in the U.S. Open House Chicago this weekend. More info can be found through the Chicago Architecture Center website. In the Loop, Brandon Eisen, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Authorities in the northern suburbs are praising alert sheriff's deputy for stopping a suspected burglar. If not red-handed, then red-footed. The story is new at 3. WBBM's Andy Dane just hung up with Lake County authorities. He's live on the news line with that story.
Now, Lisa, this is truly a case of being in the right place at the right time. It happened around 1:30 yesterday morning while Deputy Carlos Marquina was on patrol in Beach Park. This is Deputy Chief Chris Covelli.
He was in the area of Sheridan Road and Beach Road when he saw somebody walking around at a closed gas station. And the deputy's mind, that was a bit of a red flag. Continued watching this individual and watched as she began kicking the front door in an attempt to commit a burglary.
While the door of that gas station was shattered, Deputy Marquina was able to take 19-year-old Anya Latrice Taylor of Racine into custody. She is now charged with attempted burglary, criminal damage to property, and resisting a peace officer. She was released from the Lake County Jail but will appear in court next month. Reporting live, Andy Dane, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
All right, Andy, thank you. After heated arguments, the Highland Park City Council votes against cutting down trees to make room for sidewalks in the historic Highland neighborhood. Letitia Lee says her street was designed without sidewalks for a reason, and that's part of its charm.
Sacrificing our trees and the natural environment which we cherish seems a little too high of a price for me, for a problem that can be addressed in other different ways. But what's most troubling, however, is this issue has divided us. Neighbors are now at conflict, pitted against one another.
One Highlands resident who spoke during the meeting says she's disappointed with the result. She says the council voted in favor of some trees over children's lives. From the AppleChevy.com sports desk, here's 670 The Score's Alex Kuhn.
Thank you, Lisa. The Chicago Blackhawks are finally getting set for a game at the United Center tonight. After 4 games away from Chicago to begin 2024, Connor Bedard and the Hawks are excited to be back in front of the home crowd.
It's big. I mean, we got the best fans in the league, and they started us off on the road for a little bit the first 2 years. But we're excited to get here and play in front of them for sure.
The Blackhawks announced today that defenseman Alec Martinez is being placed on injured reserve with a lower body injury. Isaac Phillips is being called up from Rockford in a corresponding move. Blackhawks versus Sharks, 7:30 puck drop this evening from the UC. Championship Series in Major League Baseball action tonight in the ALCS. Game 3 in Cleveland between the Guardians and Yankees gets underway just after 4 o'clock. The Yankees look to make take a 3-0 lead in their series, and in the NLCS, it'll be game 4 from Citi Field as the New York Mets look to tie their series against the Dodgers at 2 before that shifts back to LA. That game will get underway at 7 o'clock. As Russell Wilson looks like he may be in line to make his first start of the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they will face the Jets on Sunday night. Former Bears quarterback Justin Fields, who started the first 6 games of the season for Pittsburgh, told reporters today that he just hasn't played well enough to solidify himself in that QB1 role. And Bulls point guard Lonzo Ball had 10 points and a block in his return to the court for the first time since 2022 last night. That in a 125-123 preseason victory for the Bulls over Minnesota. With sports at 16:46, I'm Alex Kuhn of 670 The Score on News Radio 105.9 WBB.
A 46-year-old Whiting man sentenced to serve 10 months in prison after pleading guilty to trying to force a mixed-race family out of the neighborhood.
As part of his guilty plea, federal prosecutors say Brian O'Neill acknowledged hostile acts against his neighbors and admitted his actions were motivated by his opposition to persons of color living in his neighborhood. It's alleged that for more than a year, he tried to drive the mixed-race family out of the neighborhood. Prosecutors say he threatened to assault one family member, shouted racial slurs at others, and threatened their landlord. FBI acting special agent in charge Thomas Winterhalter said in a statement, "Every hate crime is a calculated attack on a person's right to peace and sense of belonging and can leave scars that can linger long after the act itself." Mike Krauser, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
The Biden administration says today's confirmed death of the leader of the Hamas militant group represents an opportunity for a ceasefire in the group's year-long armed conflict with Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu confirmed this afternoon that Yahya Sinwar, who is believed to have led the planning of the October 7th attack on Israel, was killed during a military operation in Gaza. In an address to the nation, Netanyahu said Israel had, in his words, settled its account with Sinwar, but would not commit to an end to the fighting. Here he is through an interpreter.
Killing him is a milestone in the decline of the evil rule of Hamas. I would like to say once again, in the clearest form, Hamas will not rule Gaza any longer.
For more perspective on today's events, we're joined live on the newsline by Northwestern University political science professor Ian Hurd, who's the director of the Weinberg College Center for International and Area Studies. Professor Hurd, thanks for being with us. So President Biden and Vice President Harris says the death of Sinwar represents an opportunity to end the war in Gaza for peace. Do you think both sides will take advantage of this opportunity at this point?
Well, it's, of course, very hard to tell. What's going to have to happen is some long-range thinking is going to have to take hold, especially in the Israeli government. So being able to kill someone who is important to your enemy is one thing, but putting that to use to actually create a peaceful future is another. That's going to take some political decisions in the Israeli government to kind of scale back their military activities and take a different path. We'll see.
Right. Easier said than done, right? So let's talk about the release of the hostages still held by Hamas. Does this give them cover to do that, Israeli leaders? They've resisted so far growing pressure to pause the fighting and secure the release. What do you think at this point?
Well, nobody on the outside knows anything about what's going on there, so we really can only speculate. What we see, though, is the scale of destruction across Lebanon and Gaza and the West Bank at the moment that just seems to be putting unbearable pressure on regular people, on citizens and civilians who are trying to live their lives. The scale of that destruction seems to be kind of the most pressing and urgent problem that we have to resolve.
Sure. So let's turn to Iran now. Hamas and Hezbollah both received support from the Iranian government. Could this provoke another military response from them at all, Iran?
Well, it certainly could. That would seem possible. But, you know, the calculations here are really complicated in the sense that the basic fight is over who gets to control what territory. So the Israeli government wants a say in who runs Palestine. The Iranian government wants a say in Lebanon. Iran or Israel wants a say in Lebanon. So they're all kind of fighting over control. This is really about control. And anything that makes your opponent seem weaker might seem like a victory for you. But at the end of the day, everyone's got to live together. There's no escaping that situation. And so what we hope for is a political push from inside or outside that causes these leaders to realize that they're not any longer speaking for their citizens, right? They've left the citizens. Mm-hmm. The citizens just want to be left alone. So we're hoping for that political push from the outside. We'll see.
The conflict continues. We continue to keep an eye on it. Thank you so much for your analysis. Northwestern Professor Ian Hurd, thanks so much.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.